This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Guess what? It's time for another one of those special CEO podcasts. And boy, oh boy, is this one ever special. If you've been around this site for any length of time, then you know we always jump at the opportunity to visit with our old friend Keith Neumeyer. Keith, I mean, talk about a warrior for the cause in the precious metals industry. He's out there helping us every day. He runs a couple of great companies. We're going to talk about them both today. Just so you know, again, as a reminder, Keith is founder and CEO of First Majestic, which is one of the largest primary silver miners in the world. But he's also founder and chairman of First Mining Gold, which is a company that I first got to know, 5 or 6 years from now. I think I bought shares and I still hold them all from back then. So we're going to get an update on both today. Keith, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Craig, it's great to get online with you again and nice chatting.
Dude, it's been a little while. You've been busy.
Yeah, it has been a while. And of course, I'm always busy.
There's no shortage of stuff to do. And man, this year has just been so crazy. I mean, we're recording this at a time when silver's getting whacked pretty good with the economy and everything. And we'll talk about all that in the Fed here in a second. But the first thing I want to pick your brain on is I want to double back to First Mining Gold because, like I said, I think maybe that was the first time we met in about 15 or 16, and you'd put this company together doing your deal. I mean, at the bottom of the market, finding resources that, you know, were way undervalued, that, you know, orphaned people just, you know, looking to sell because they need cash because it's been such a tough couple of years. And so you put together First Mining. You said, I've held it. I don't think I've sold a single share from 5 years ago. So first and foremost, let's start with a recap of what First Mining is, and then we'll share with them kind of some special news you got.
Sure. Thanks, Craig. And going back to that time, 2014, it was a devastating year in the mining sector. And, even First Majestic was trading at stupid numbers. And, the entire mining sector was, basically down and out for the count. And, when I put, my predecessor companies together, I've always been really good at picking the bottoms. I may not be that great at picking the tops, but picking the bottoms is something I've proven very good at doing. And I came up with this idea in 2014 to put together, another company focused on gold, because I was just seeing, these companies trading at less than $10 an ounce in gold value, per share. And I'm just, this is just ridiculous valuations, something that you'd have to go back to the, 90s to really, experience, like back in 97, 98. So I figured, okay, well, so I put together a team of guys or people, pardon me. And, I gave them a list of criteria, we don't have time to, go over everything, but, jurisdiction, grade, all that kind of stuff. And we came up with 100 companies, and we went through the list and we broke it down to the top 50. Then we broke it down even further to the top 10. And so I approached these top 10 companies, I approached their direct board of directors at the end of 2014, early 2015, and I convinced six of them to merge with First Mining Gold. So over a period of 15 months, I was able to make 8 acquisitions, 6 of which were in the top 10. And these top 10 were the best gold projects based on the criteria that we laid out in the entire planet. We ended up with this pretty exciting portfolio. And the whole idea was to hold on to these assets, waiting for the cycle to change, where we could, de-risk them, finance them, and, hopefully eventually, get them into production at some point, whether it's ourselves or whether it's a partner, who knows, but that was the plan. So it's worked out quite well over the last couple of years. We've done joint ventures. We've sold a couple assets for shares in other companies. And we're going to talk about Treasure Metals in a second, I know. But First Mining Gold is left with this amazing portfolio of gold assets and with a treasury that's, loaded up with cash and assets, shares of other publicly traded companies. So it's very well financed. And this, in my opinion, the stock is also dirt cheap.
Is it ever? I remember kind of the lead project being something called Spring Pole, or that was at least the one everybody talked about. It's up in Northern mm-hmm. Ontario. What can you remind everybody about at least that one?
Yeah, Spring Pole was, obviously the biggest acquisition we did. We paid $53 million in stock for Spring Pole back in 2015. And this is a company that had developed or drilled out an ore body, an open pitable ore body in Northern Ontario, Northern Ontario near Red Lake, 5 million ounces of gold, and with exploration upside. Our geos actually think there's a lot more gold there than what's currently mm-hmm. reported. But that's for the future, exploration. That's going to actually, some exploration is happening this summer. But we did the economics on this, and it came in at $1 billion NPV, and the entire company only has a market cap of just a little bit north of 200 million.
Yeah.
And, the crazy thing is when Spring Pole was in its own company, it was a company called, I forget the name of it now. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. But the company that it was owned by originally had a market cap of, $400 million at the height of the market back in 2010, 2011. And we paid $53 million for it.
Yeah. And that it's valued essentially at $200 million. And you get it. That's just the whole company with Spring Pole being a part of it.
Right. And with the rest of the portfolio, there's about $100 million in just securities that First Mining Gold owns. And there's over $40 million in cash. And then, of course, the other gold assets that the company owns as well. So, it's highly, undervalued.
I know you've told me this before. It gets frustrating when you put together a basket of resources like this, and it's like the market doesn't know what to do with it, rather than if you just had one mine someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great point, Greg. It's just, I think, shareholders do get confused. Just from experience, I've been in this mining industry for 35 years. And, if you're a single asset company, you tend to... people understand you, they know you, they can value you. The second you've got, a handful of assets in your portfolio, as First Mining Gold does, it becomes quite confusing. And I think that's part of the issue.
And so we've got Spring Pole, a couple of other resources there, but even just on its own, with the pre-feasibility study you've done, I mean, at 1,800 or 1,700 or 1,900 last week, I would imagine just, again, that resource itself starts to look pretty attractive to either develop or sell to somebody.
Yeah. That $1 billion net present value is based on $1,350 gold. So at $1,800 gold or, $3,000 gold, that number is going to be, obviously quite a lot different. And I don't want to be too quick to, JV it out. It's such a prize and such a great asset. I want to take it down the path a little bit longer and we've got, some, major companies that have kind of looked at it and kicked the tires and so on and so forth, but I'm not anxious to do a deal and there's no reason to do a deal, because First Mining is very well financed and we don't need the money. So why would we do a deal?
Right. So, all right. So 30 some odd million dollars in cash, this basket of potential resources or proven resources, one of them being maybe $1 billion value. And then you've got, the idea being that develops, maybe somebody steps in and wants to take advantage of that at some point in the future. And you've now done this recently with one of your assets called Goldland. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tell everybody what happened there.
Yeah. So back in 2015, we bought a private company that was one of the six I mentioned earlier. That private company owned this asset called Goldland. It's got a couple of million ounces of gold already drilled out, and it's an old mine. And I've been to site many times, and it's we drilled it out. But the neighboring property, Goliath, these two projects, Goliath has about, from memory, about 1 million ounces of gold approximately. and you know, Goldland with a couple million ounces of gold, and they're side by side, and they should have been in a single company. And you know, Treasury Metals, who owns Goliath and has owned Goliath for quite some time, has, you know, tried to buy this asset several times over the last decade unsuccessfully. I was able to scoop it up in 2015 at the begrudge of Treasury, but nevertheless, we did end up doing a deal with Treasury and sold Goldland to them. So they've now been able to combine the Goliath project with the Goldland project. And the nice thing about Goliath is it's further advanced. It's actually got permits in place, which Goldland doesn't. So it actually helps by merging the two into a single company, Treasury Metals. It actually helps fast track the production. Sure. Because they could actually, you know, the mill that they're going to be building at Goliath, they can just access the ore from Goldland because it's so close together. So it's just a great marriage. And First Mining Gold ended up getting a whole whack of stock and warrants in Treasury Metals. And we're actually, as I promised investors back in 2015, 2016, that we would dividend out any kind of special, you know, payment like this that we received. And that's exactly what we're doing. So investors in First Mining Gold will actually get a share of Treasury Metals.
This is very exciting because this is exactly what you've always promised you would do. Mm-hmm. And here's your first big chance. So you took Goldland, sold it to Treasury Metals. They are in a position to really maximize it and fast track it far better than First Mining could have been. So, I mean, it's like a baseball trade, right? And everybody's supposed to win both sides of the trade. It benefits everybody. And that's what this is. And so now what? There's a shareholder meeting at the end of this month that's going to approve what is really, I guess, a special dividend. Tell everybody if it gets approved or when it gets approved. What a share, if you're a shareholder in First Mining, how will this benefit you? What will you receive?
Sure. Well, there is a calculator on the website. And, okay. And so if you, for, let's just go back to the vote just for a sec. Yeah, okay. I can't imagine shareholders not voting in favor of it, but so I'm just assuming it's going to be voted in favor of. You know, I'm obviously going to vote in favor of it. So, but anyways, and then the distribution, you know, will happen a couple of weeks later. So if you own shares of First Mining Gold, it's going to be an automatic thing. Like, you know, it'll just Treasury Metal share will just show up in your account somewhere in mid-July, you know, as a bonus or as a dividend. So it's going to be good for everyone. And going to your other point, Craig,
How will it pay out, and how many shares off the top of your head out pays out per shareholder?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I got off track, but it's something in the order of 10%. You'd have to go to the website. There's a calculator. So if you own 1,000 shares of First Mining Gold, for example, you can just enter in that number and it'll spit out how many shares that you get in Treasury. The reason why I can't just throw a number out, because it changes every day.
Because it's
all based on how many shares are outstanding in First Mining Gold, and that's a fluctuating number. So so on the date, let's call it July 15th, that number will be fixed. So, and we'll know exactly what that number is, but it's approximately 10%.
Got it. So yeah, I had done some calculations, sent me a note, said it looks like 30 some odd shares and 16 warrants for every 1,000 shares. So again, go to the website, plot, you know, pump in how many shares of First Mining you've got, and it'll tell you. And again, this is, you received 43 million shares of Treasury Metals and 11.7 million warrants, something like that. And you're going to pay out about half the shares and all the warrants. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. First Mining Gold is going to retain 20 million shares. So of the 43 million, they're going to dividend out 23 million. And all the warrants that they receive are going to be dividend out. So I think the exercise price on those warrants are $1.50. And then I think Treasury trades around 90 cents last I looked. So you have a little bit of a bonus. You get the shares as well as you get a warrant. So you get a call on the stock for the next couple of years if the stock performs, and you know, you make a little bit extra money.
You know, this reminds me of Keith. I'm thinking back to my old stockbroker days in the 90s. And I remember like Philip Morris had all these different, you know, companies and brands underneath Philip Morris. And the management thinking, we're not getting a proper valuation for this collection of stuff. And so they spun off like Kraft, you know, and you take a part of the company and you let it go public and the shareholders get the actual value or more value than what the market was perceiving. That kind of feels, this kind of feels like a mini version of something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very similar. And, you know, it's a win-win for everyone. I think it's, you know, it's good for Treasure Metals. I think, you know, Treasure Metals has a, you know, now combined project of around 3 million ounces of gold, which now they can, you know, get currently, you know, get into production over the next couple of years. And it's going to give them a great shareholder base because, you know, First Mining Gold has got, you know, over 50,000 shareholders, you know, worldwide. And all of a sudden, all those shareholders have become shareholders of the new company, yeah. Treasure Metals. And, you know, that's great for Treasure Metals to have this great shareholder base all of a sudden owning that company. And it's also great for First Mining Gold shareholders because, you know, they get this dividend. And, you know, I hope they hold on to their shares in Treasure Metals. But, you know, obviously it's up to them what they do with it.
Yeah. Yep. And again, I encourage everybody, keep an eye on the First Mining Gold website for news and updates. The shareholder meeting planned for the 30th of June. And provided everything goes through, you get this dividend kicking out sometime in the middle of July, and you need to be a shareholder. I'm sure there'll be a date of record by which you have to be a shareholder if you're going to participate in that. And again, just keep checking the First Mining. It's just firstmininggold.com website. But we'll have that link here on this page so everybody can go there and read more about the company. Keith, I just think it's great because, again, I've always thought you were the most reputable and trustworthy name in the precious metals industry and in the sector in terms of delivering on what you promise and telling the truth. And, you know, one of the things you've always been out front and telling truth about is just the role of these bullion bankers and the manipulation of price. And you've done a wonderful job again this year of drawing attention to what's going on. But it's also, I mean, we are still talking $26, $27, $28 silver, which has got to just be allowing you to print a lot of money, it seems, at First Majestic. That stuff comes out of the ground and you're able to sell it. You don't sell all of it. It seems a lot of times you'll withhold production because you think price is going to go higher. It's been a very good year. You also bought Jerritt Canyon from Eric Sprott. So now you kind of got a great gold asset in Nevada too. I'd be remiss if I didn't let you talk a little bit about First Majestic and all the great things going on there.
Yeah, well, thanks, Craig. And, you know, obviously, you know, we've been focusing on First Mining Gold and you know, with the dividend coming in the next month or so, you know, it's a good time, you know, for people to really look at First Mining Gold as a potential part of their portfolio. I would encourage people to go to First Mining's website, look at the PowerPoint presentation, you know, look at the you know, the assets that company has, and you know, really, you know, take a bit of a deep dive because you know, buying the stock just for the Treasury Metals dividend, sure, that makes a lot of sense. But I think, you know, holding you know, First Mining for a long term, you know, as the company develops its assets over the next couple of years, something people should really consider doing as a core position in their portfolios. But you know, going to First Majestic, of course, I'm the CEO, people know that. And it's been quite the year, you know, with last year with COVID and, you know, a couple months shutdown and then, you know, turning things back on and just the disruptions that COVID caused in the mining sector globally, you know, it's quite interesting to manage and quite challenging to manage. And, you know, we ended 2020 off on a very, very positive note. And you know, that's continued into 2021. You know, we're going to have a record year in 2021, we're expecting. You know, adding gold, Jerritt Canyon to the portfolio, as you touched on, yes, it's a gold mine. And people have asked me, why are you buying a gold mine when you're a silver company? But we're still predominantly silver. Most of our revenue is still coming from silver. But, you know, I just thought Nevada made a ton of sense. You know, we've been in Mexico for 18 years now, and the company was ready, you know, to step out of Mexico and look at another jurisdiction. And, you know, there's really not a lot of great jurisdictions to be active in as a mining company. And, I don't want to go to Argentina. I don't want to go to Peru. United States, Nevada, you know, wow, this is like fantastic. So, you know, this opportunity came up, you know, I was, you know, talking to Eric Sprott about this and, at the end of 2020 and, we, decided that it made sense. So we ended up doing a deal and, he's happy. He ended up getting a whole bunch of stock in First Majestic. So he's now First Majestic's largest shareholder. If you look at Eric's holdings, First Majestic is actually his largest personal holding, which is quite interesting. So, so having Eric as a, keystone shareholder investor is, great for us. And it was win-win. And, now we're active in Nevada. So I'm expecting probably over the next couple of years, we might even be making further investments in Nevada.
There's a lot of potential there, no doubt about it. And You're pretty well back. I know that Mexico was shut down for a good solid almost couple months with COVID back last spring. But you say you kind of everything's back up and running.
Yeah, it is. We've had to hire more staff because what happened in Mexico is they deemed a number of people vulnerable. So, if you're overweight or obese, or diabetes or, heart conditions or, there's a list of medical issues that you'd have, you'd get deemed vulnerable. So then the company would have to pay your full salary and you could stay at home. It was a little bit crazy. 10% of the workforce, and we've got over 5,000, people working for us, got deemed vulnerable. So we had to go and hire, a bunch of new people on a part-time basis just to fill those roles. So our costs did balloon as a result of that over the last, six months or so. Now that Mexico is now coming back to normal, these vulnerable workers now have to come back to work. And then so we can then, start to lay off some of the part-time individuals. So we're hoping to see costs start to get reduced over the next couple of quarters.
And what do you make of the current madness, Keith? I mean, you watch this stuff like I do. The CPI is soaring, but it's just transitory, right? The Fed is trying to convince everybody that it's not going to stay. Inflation is going to come all the way back down to 2% because they've got to keep people buying treasuries. In the meantime, the dollar soars, and so the machines and the banks sell their silver. What's your long term? I know you're bullish, but your long-term view just of all this macro stuff? Do you look at this stuff and just shake your head when you see that the price moves?
Well, of course, it's disappointing as well, right? We grind higher and it takes so long to grind higher. And, we went through, a five-year bear market, from 2014 basically to, or 2012 to 2016 or 20, whatever. But, and it was tough times. And all of a sudden silver's trading at, 28, 30 bucks or, 27, 28 and gold's up at 19 or 18 and, the mining sector's making money and, we can now start reinvesting capital because the biggest problem for miners is committing to make investments because we don't have a view or, we have a view, but we can't be certain what the price is going to be 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And what people tend to forget about the mining sector is that, when boards of directors or management teams decide to build a mine, it's a 10-year plan. And, you're not going to, you got to pay all your capital back. You got to raise the capital, then you got to pay it all back. So you actually probably don't actually make any profit until 10 years out. You got to pick your price. What's gold going to be? What's silver going to be? And the executives just say, WTF, why spend $1 billion when we're not going to get paid back for 10 years and we don't know what the price is going to be. That's what's happening on the supply side, right? So supply is dropping and you've got another problem where you've got the supply chain broken. Because the governments around the world don't want to trade with each other anymore,
right?
But you've still got all the demand. All the demand's coming back, into an environment where there's no supply and the miners aren't willing to invest capital to even add to the supply. So, you know, this is 2002, 2003 all over again. When we saw the Nasdaq peak out at 5,000 in March of 2000 and crash 80% over the next 3 years, and that lit up the commodities market. Where silver went from 5 to 50 over the next 10 years, and gold went from 250 to 1,900 over that same period of time, and copper went from 60 cents to $4. You know, if you use those same ratios, and say we're 2 years into this new bull market, you get to be there's some pretty crazy numbers that we're going to see in this next cycle.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing I thought of while you're saying this just came up in my podcast a couple of days ago. This crude oil is it's up 50% year to date. And mm-hmm. I started thinking, you've always done such a great job of managing costs so that, each dollar up in silver can really flow right through to the bottom line. How much are you watching other commodities like energy like that and how that can impact your company?
Yeah, well, very much so, because I think we're going to see north of $100 oil again. And I've been telling the management team within First Majestic that same story for the last couple of years. And energy is such a big component of the mining sector. And we've been able to now convert over. We had two mines on diesel four or five years ago. And now we have zero mines on diesel. We use diesel as a backup, if in case the power lines go out or something happens. But we don't use diesel for the primary power source at all anymore. Four of our mines are on the electrical grid, and two of our mines are on natural gas. So we just had our last mine, the Santa Elena mine, converted over to natural gas in April of this year. Yeah, and that's going to save the company something around $8 to $10 million a year just in energy costs.
That's fantastic. And you think of how that impacts other companies that haven't made those proactive moves, Keith. I mean, that's just great.
Yeah, I know. And it's good environmentally too.
So yeah, right.
It's good for the environment. It's good for our bottom line. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Great stuff. Just shows you, I'm a happy shareholder of First Majestic. That's for sure. Even my daughter owns First Majestic and she's like, "Dad, this stock's great." But at the same, and then, like I said, this first mining, I love drawing attention to it again, not only because I've held the shares for 5 years, but it's just this thing that's like been overlooked, and it's not overlooked because it's, not any good. You're doing everything that you said you would always do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just glad that we need to revisit it and get the word out there. This is exciting. We'll just keep an eye on the First Mining Gold website for updates.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And the investors need to just kind of have a longer view on this stuff, because First Mining is one of these perfect examples where, it just takes time. You don't build a $1 billion company in a matter of a couple of years. And I think it's going, I think personally believe it's going to go there, but it's not going to happen overnight. You have to just be patient. And that's what I was kind of leaning towards earlier about, looking at First Mining Gold as a core investment in people's portfolio who have a bullish view on the sector. Right. Yeah. And so I think it's a great asset or a great company, just be one of these core assets that you just put away and wait for, things to develop.
Yeah. Is it Rick Rule that likes to call companies such as this is just like a good long-term leap, a good mm-hmm. call option on price as
yeah.
well?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. But I understand where Rick is coming from on that. But, if the using Springpole as an example, that $1 billion NPV is valued at or is priced or calculated at $1,350 gold. Right. So, if it was at $2,000 gold, yes, I would buy Rick Rule's a theory on that. But, it's already profitable if it was producing today at current metal prices. It doesn't need $2,000 gold.
Very important distinction. You're absolutely mm-hmm. right. Man, I tell you, it's just always great to hear from you, Keith. And I just appreciate all you do in fighting the fight out there spreading the word about silver and the forces that control it. And man, I wish you the best. Hopefully we can get all this stuff done here in the next couple of weeks. And then hopefully we can visit again in a few months for another update.
Yeah, well, Craig, I'd really love to do that. And it's, you know, it's market action like we've experienced over the last couple of days where we just have to hunker down and stay focused on what we do. And, you know, Craig, you're a great advocate of what we do out there and letting people know about the importance of precious metals as part of their portfolio to preserve wealth.
Well, thank you. And if anything, what do they say? The beatings will continue until morale improves. But I think morale is improving finally.
Yes, I believe it is.
Let's hope so. All right. Well, hey, Keith, again, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm sure you found this valuable. And we'll be certain to have another CEO conversation for you sometime very soon.